Good morning. I'm Alisa Z. Thanks so much for spending your morning here with us on the Sunday edition. We're talking about money. And I know that's a rather sobering thing to wake up to, have a cup of coffee, and hang on, because Andy Malik with O'Keefe is helping to explain a lot of things that sometimes seem to be inexplainable. Is inexplainable unexplainable? That can't be explained. We'll just put it that way. But you're making it very simple. So thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. It's when one talks about economics, there's a lot of statistics, a lot of numbers, but ultimately it's stepping up 100,000 foot view in the air and asking the question, what are we really talking about here?
Have you always been interested in money?
You know, I've always been interested in economics. And so part of that is, you know, the money for sure. And just consumer behavior.
Right.
What makes people tick? What makes firms tick? And why folks behave and why firms behave the way that they do.
I'm always amazed when I look at the forecasts, not the weather forecasts. The economic forecasts tend to be more accurate than the meteorological forecasts.
They do. I actually recently read a statistic, and the more short-term forecasts are always more accurate than the more longer-term forecasts.
That makes sense, because there are variables that come in, right?
That's right. So, in fact, I read an article in The Economist magazine that was discussing that, and they were looking at the periods of time. But certainly that makes sense, because anytime you're looking to put together a forecast over a period of time, the more you get away from where you are, more of an error can be introduced in that.
Right, because more change comes in, the unpredictability factor grows exponentially the further away you get from the date of the forecast.
That's absolutely right.
So that makes perfect sense. Well, let's talk about what's going on in our homes. Well, household debt. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, right. Well, so with the home market, we're still seeing, you know, these homes they're selling. Yeah. They're going quickly. I know, you talk about keeping it close and kind of observing, and I love to do that with economics. And I look at my sub. All the homes I know as of late in my sub that have sold were basically either done on like Facebook or not even listed, just gone. Like,
you're
not even
kidding.
A day.
Where,
on the market.
What city do you live in?
I live in Brownstown.
Really?
So I'm in Brownstown. But,
that's amazing. So what's this going to do to our friendly neighborhood realtors, whose faces we see on our shopping carts all the time?
Well, I think we will still see their faces on the shopping carts, and that's not going to detract from, you know, what their role is and what role they play in the economy. But it does show you how quickly that these homes are going.
And are they selling for reasonable prices, for close to asking, or for what you think people should be getting for their homes, do you think?
Yeah, from my understanding, they're asking price, sometimes a little bit higher, sometimes a little bit lower, but right there and going quickly.
Isn't that amazing? Now, what does this mean if somebody says, well, houses are selling and the prices are good, so economically that means fill in the blank?
Well, economically that means, and I'll caveat, it's always a function of what area that you're in.
Of course.
And kind of, you know, what the overall price of that home is and kind of what that buyer is looking for in school districts and things of this sort. But it does mean that the housing market is continuing to increase. Now, it is growing at a little bit of it's going to continue to grow maybe at a slower pace than it has been before. But it certainly continued to percolate, and that's good for everybody.
It really is. I mean, it would seem to be, but I thought, given the way everything else goes, maybe I'm thinking it's good, but it's not really that good. Well, like when I first bought my first house and I got my first tax bill and it showed that the value was up, and I was so excited, and I thought, oh no, that means I have to pay more in tax and property taxes. But it still is good that the value is increasing.
Well, it's good. It goes back to who's buying the house. And as long as they can afford that mortgage payment, then it's good. Where you get into trouble, we saw this with the last recession.
Yes.
Individuals buying homes that effectively they could not afford.
Right.
Getting loans for them.
Exactly.
But they couldn't afford it. And so what was happening then is you then have somebody needing to fire sale their house. They sell that. They sell it at a lower value. You come along. You've held the house for 20 years. Now you're looking to sell. Well, now you're dealing with a market comparable for a home that says, hey, these people are selling it for a lower price. And so then that hurts you.
What did all of that do to the mortgage market? What changes were made so that we didn't get the country, because that's really was, it was a national issue, so that we don't get back into that again? What safeguards have been put into place mortgage-wise? Do you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a banking expert, but I do believe, from my understanding, it's kind of been tightened up a little bit. I'm not sure of the regulatory changes, if there were any, in terms of how that's being processed and
But there
managed.
Have been safeguards put in place.
I believe that from an economic standpoint, you have the banks and those that are lending mortgages a little bit more, sharpening the pencil a little bit,
okay,
making sure they don't run into that situation again.
Very, very important. Now, how are we doing with our household debt? We've bought the house. We're in the house. How are we doing managing our debt?
Yeah, I think, again, the debt levels are down from where they were historically over the last several years, but it still concerns me the amount of debt that individuals hold. And, you know, you always hear about the World War II generation and those
yes.
dollars being squirreled away, put it under the pillow.
We're not squirrels anymore, are we?
No, but there's something to be said for as much as you can spend, you can also save. And saving is good for a lot of folks. And also if you need it for a rainy day
right.
and having it available. It goes back to our economy again, where you have 70% of our economy that is reliant on consumption spending.
Right.
So when you look at Black Friday, you look at Black Friday sales, and when those sales expectations are down from where everybody, I should say, when the actual sales are down from
right.
where the expectations would be, then you have individuals getting a little bit of a panic and going, what
yes.
does that mean? Although I think really the question should be asked, what are they purchasing?
Right, right. What are they purchasing?
And do they need it? And are they spending more than they should be spending? So
and
those, I think, are valid questions.
I think they're extremely valid questions. And I think we have these generations, like my generation, baby boomers, and I'm at the tail end of the baby boomers, but the World War II generation, they're the savers, the squirrelers away, as you said. My generation, we started out, I think, being savers, and then we got caught up maybe in the last 20 years of spending more than we had and running up that credit card debt and getting underwater in our mortgages. I think our kids are doing better than we are, but we feel, I'm thinking, kind of stuck here, and what have we gotten ourselves into, right?
Well, yes, and to add to that, you look at the cost of education. So look at the millennials. And,
yes.
You know, you look at where someone may come out of undergraduate owing $70,000 to $100,000 in debt.
Right.
And how is that going to get paid off?
And in so many cases, it's not.
Right. And what is that going to do when those individuals want to buy a home?
Oh,
how are they going to qualify for the mortgage?
Boy. So this whole thing is cyclical.
It is. It's a vicious circle. And so the cost of education is so high, I think one really needs to sit back and think about that when your kids are going to university, what does that path look like?
Right.
Because to not do that economically, you may not be viably looking at that properly.
Well, and it seems that a lot of the governmental entities are coming out and saying out loud, it's not like it was in the 70s where you had to have a bachelor's degree in order to get a job. Now, if you're going to be a CPA, a physician, an attorney, and myriad other professions, yes, you need that specific path. However, in many of the creative fields, in a lot of other fields, that's not what is going to get you along that path to starting a career and earning an income. And you can have a whole lot less debt if you really look closely at the path you want to follow and what the outcome is going to be at the end of whatever period is you're getting that education or training, right?
Oh, absolutely. Look at the skilled trades.
Exactly.
So you have
exactly.
plumbers, electricians.
Making very good livings.
Absolutely. And yet
yep.
also a shortage.
Yes, exactly.
And so that just begs for individuals who are skilled and wired that way to do that.
Yes.
There's a reason I do what I do, because I cannot fix things. But for those that enjoy it and can do it, that's a great path to look at.
We're grateful for them. 30 seconds left. What do you want? What are your parting words of wisdom?
Well, my parting words of wisdom, I think, you know, at least economically, is when you look at the economy the way it is, what I'm seeing is that we're going to continue to grow, but I think at some point, you know, the spigot's going to be cut off a little bit. So, you know, that growth rate going out in time, the question is how long can we sustain it? And at some point, it's going to be cut off here. So hopefully later rather than sooner.
I like that. We will let the buyer beware. Andy Malik with O'Keefe, thank you so much for spending your morning here with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
And thank you for being here with us as well. Once again, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.